At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
On KGO 810.
You're listening to the Trex Radio Show on KGO 810 as the sun goes down all over the western United States. And good evening, and thank you very much for joining me. Well, it looks like Hillary Clinton took Kentucky, and Bernie Sanders took Oregon tonight in the primary race. So Bernie just spoke and said he's hanging in there until the very last vote. So you can still vote for Bernie here in California, and it's still going to mean something.
Bernie stayed up late.
Bernie is staying up late. Good for Bernie. Yeah.
It doesn't explain the bedhead, though.
I think it's very interesting because these are the primaries, and I wonder if people are doing pretty much what I'm going to do. I have my ballot, and I'm not sure who I'm going to vote for in the election, but I'm voting for Bernie in the primary.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's
just
like,
to kind of send a message to Hillary.
You're just playing spin the ballot.
Right. Well, just to disrupt things. And I think that's
How far can he go? I kind of want to know.
Well, there was a great op-ed piece that I read today, Valerie, talking about that. A lot of the superdelegates are now kind of, where Hillary thought she had them in her back pocket. They're starting to think, well, why is it that he keeps winning? Now, I know that she's won all the big important states, but he keeps winning and winning and winning and winning.
Well, apparently she doesn't have them all in her back pantsuit pocket.
Well, she has 2289. You need 2383 to win. He has 1522. So
still a long
way
to go.
He's way behind. Yeah, well, and he's running out of states.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to get to the big story that will be tomorrow. And that is the Megyn Kelly, Donald Trump and Megyn Kelly from Fox News. They break the hatchet tonight in a brand new interview that was actually broadcast on the Fox Network, not Fox News. And this stems all the way back to the controversial retweets calling Kelly a bimbo. And Trump sheepishly said, excuse me, before even offering that it's probably not the most horrible thing that Kelly had said about her, had anybody said about her over the course of her life. And I can tell you, this is going to be interesting. So I have some of the sound. Let me play it for you. We'll hear it together for the first time. All right, Megan's big interview with Donald Trump. Here's Trump on whether he regrets the way he ran any of his campaign in the primaries.
Absolutely, I have regrets. I don't think I want to discuss what the regrets are, but absolutely, I could have done certain things differently. I could have maybe used different language in a couple of instances. But overall, I have to be very happy with the outcome. And I think if I didn't conduct myself in the way I've done it, I don't think I would have been successful, actually. If I were soft, if I were, presidential, okay, presidential. In a way, it's a bad word because there's nothing wrong with being presidential. But if I would not have fought back the way I fought back, I don't think I would have been successful.
Wow, that's a shock. We are hearing this for the first time. This just ended 9 minutes ago. I thought he was going to, when he said regrets, I thought for sure he'd say, I have no regrets. Because he seems like that kind of guy. He's the kind of guy, I have no regrets. So I'm shocked that he said
the humility tact.
Huh. How'd that happen?
He won't say what they are, which is cagey of him. I mean, that's, don't give your enemies more ammo. But, okay.
That was a nice start.
Okay.
By the way, if you hear something and you want to make a comment about Donald Trump in this make good with Megyn Kelly. Yeah, it's a make good. Right. They're turning it into a love fest. 808-0810 if you're outside the Bay, anywhere in the western United States. Area code 415-808-0810. All right, let's continue here. Again, we're hearing this together for the first time. Donald Trump says he writes his own tweets. Ask Megyn Kelly, do you?
What do you do? Do you pick up your iPhone and actually tweet yourself?
Usually after 7 or 8 o'clock, I'll do it myself. But during the day, if I'm in the office, I have a number of people that I'll just call out a tweet to. It's always my writing.
You call out exclamation point.
I do. I'd say exclamation point.
Sad.
I do. You know me well. You know me well. No, I'll say exclamation point.
Like I'm familiar. Show.
So they'll type it out for me real fast. Bring it in. I'll be in a meeting. Blah, blah, blah. Boom. Put an exclamation point here, and I'll send it in. So I don't do the physical. Now, after like 7 or 8 o'clock, if I'm home, I'll do it myself. You probably had some pretty nasty tweets sent your way. I don't want to say, but I've heard that. I don't want that to happen, but I have fans, they really love... We have an unbelievable bond. We have an
but
unbelievable
you retweet some of those. Not just the fans.
Yeah, but not the more nasty ones. You would be amazed at the ones I don't retweet.
Bimbo?
Well, there was a retweet, yeah. Did I say that?
Many times.
Ooh, okay. Excuse me. Over your life, Megan, you've been called a lot worse. Is that right? Wouldn't you say? You know, you've had a life that's not been that easy. And
it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about the messaging to young girls and to other women.
But again, it's a certain amount of fighting back. You know, it's a modern day form of fighting back. I mean, it really is. But
you're going to stop that as president?
Well, I'm going to stop it about you now because I think I like our relationship. Yeah, I think
now
so.
Now you have my cell phone number.
I will say this.
That is actually much more efficient.
You gave me your cell phone number.
And you promised you would not use it for evil.
I don't know. I promise. You'll never see that.
Huh. It's interesting because the piece I'm reading about this, and people are obviously talking about it now that it's 11 minutes over, saying that, Donald Trump gives her a lot of credit for coming to him. Because he could have never gone to her. So she's happy that she wanted to come over to Trump Tower to talk to him. Because he wouldn't have gone over to Fox to talk to her. All right. Donald Trump says it'll be a waste of time if he doesn't win.
If I don't go all the way and if I don't win, I will consider it to be a total and complete waste of time, energy, and money.
Okay. Oh, this is a big one. So what I've got here is all the big takeaways. On Megyn Kelly Presents on the Fox Network tonight, Donald Trump admits that he regrets what he said about John McCain. It's about time. And Carly. Let's hear this.
Yeah, I guess so. But you have to go forward. You make a mistake, you go forward, and you know, you can correct the mistake. But to look back and say, gee whiz, I wish I didn't do this or that, I don't think that's good. I don't even think, in a certain way, I don't even think that's healthy.
Yeah, especially with McCain, you could have...
But wait, he just said he didn't apologize. He had regrets.
He had regrets. He didn't apologize.
Right, but he wasn't going to say whether... But wait, but to look back and say, gee, I made mistakes, I don't think that's healthy. He already contradicted himself.
Right.
Ugh, the man. The man-child.
It's interesting... To me, the tone at which he's speaking to her at.
It's a little soft.
It is a little softer. It's
conversational.
Yes, it's conversational. Like
one of his daughters, maybe.
Right. No, he's not talking to her in a condescending way.
No, he wouldn't talk to his daughters in a condescending way.
But certainly when he's gone on whatever media it is, pick any conservative media outlet, USA, talk about Megyn Kelly, it was very much that way.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Condescending. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
We will see.
They kiss and made good.
Ew. And I got images in my head. Did you saw the thing I sent you today with, it was a mashup of Trump's face with Hillary's?
Yes, you can check it out at Generation Drex.
Yeah, if you're not sure who to vote for, they've mashed up their faces and it's Clump.
I put it on Facebook on Drex too, Drex. Yeah, Clump. That's funny. I don't know. That makes for one bad, super bad candidate.
Yeah.
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 We don't want Clump. All right. Let's take a break and we'll be back. We'll begin the late night, late show wrap up as we check in with Lee Graham. And let's take a look at traffic right now on KGO.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show. On the next generation of KGO 810.
And now it's time for another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
What's this text? What? Another one of my friends is getting divorced? What went wrong with them? One of them had to have cheated. Oh, now there I go again, assuming. I wish I knew what happened, though. I can't call her and pretend I don't know. Hey, I was just thinking about you. What? I'm no Meryl Streep. But I really want to know. I'll call Sherry, our hairdresser. She'll know. I wish there were divorce ceremonies, like wedding ceremonies. Instead of reading marriage vows, they'd stand in front of friends and family and spill all the dirt on how it went wrong. People would still sit on one side or the other, literally taking sides of who they're sticking with. It'd be funny to see if anyone jumped sides midway through the divorce ceremony. Man, I'd watch that on TV every week. Ooh, I think I just came up with a new reality show.
And that was another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
Oh, yes, another friend getting divorced. What will we do? Well, think about it. Well, think about it, everybody. By the way, we were talking a little bit about this yesterday, but we never really got to the story. A lot of multitasking going on there, but I guess this takes it to a whole new level. According to a new research, a staggering 1 in 10 people have no problem checking their phone while they're having sex. Let that in, let it sink in. All right. Yes, while getting busy, at least 10% of us think nothing of reaching for their mobile device, their iPhone, or flicking through their text. Flicking through their text?
I mean how
flicking through your text.
How boring is the action?
Right, yeah, that's really bad.
Unless it's your side chick.
Wow. No, that's the one that's fun.
That's really bad.
Come on, right. She's the fun one.
Oh, wait, I just have to text my wife. Hang on.
Wow. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, if it's a text, okay, maybe nowadays. Okay, just what? Who was it?
No. All right.
But no, you're flicking through your text.
No. Flush it down the toilet. Keep it in the other room.
Right.
Turn
oh
it off.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Do not disturb. Airplane, Okay. Whatever that little logo is.
Mm. And the other thing is that they were checking students, whether they had it on ring or vibrate, they showed symptoms of hyperactivity and struggled to concentrate. So this psychology researcher said, we found the first experimental evidence that smartphone interruptions can cause greater inattention and hyperactivity and symptoms of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, even in people drawn from a non-clinical population. First, the students were asked to keep their phones on, keep their alerts on their phones and have them close by. During the second week, they had them silenced and put them away. And it was found that those using them with noises on actually showed symptoms of ADHD, even if they have never been diagnosed with it. That's interesting.
The study went on for more than 1 week. It's driving me nuts just thinking about it. The second week, they had to actually turn the noises off.
Right.
Ugh.
So the findings simply suggest that our constant digital stimulation may be contributing to an increasingly problematic deficit of attention in modern society. Yeah, you know what? So I don't think you need to just do this on kids. I think even as adults now, I find myself guilty. Well, don't do that. But it is. Even I can tell you this, and I don't know about you, but I can hear. I don't ever have the ringer on. I can hear it vibrate.
Oh, absolutely. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I'm super sensitive to that.
It's gotten to the point now, I'm a fairly light sleeper, that I actually put it in airplane mode at night.
I have to.
Right, because I can't hear that thing. I can hear it vibrate. Even if I put it on the other side of the nightstand. Well, of course, that drives you crazy. Then you can't reach the damn thing to put it on airplane. So I'm constantly on an airplane. If you go straight to voicemail, I'm flying.
It's like living with the TSA. It must be really
right,
fun.
Right, yes. You need to be TSA approved first. Turn that damn thing on airplane. All right. Speaking of the end of the world, let's start with now a new beginning. A woman in California was the first to give birth to a baby yesterday with her husband streaming the whole thing live to the world. And the whole thing ended up on Facebook Live. And, oh, boy, this name. Why don't you look at this?
Okay. Well, let me see if I can decide.
Fakamalo Kai Iki?
Fakamalo Kihei Ike.
Okay, thanks. That's...
Kihei Ike.
That's the baby's name. Oh, no, wait a second. That's somebody's name.
We aren't sure.
The baby's name wasn't given. All right,
name is Live Stream.
Right.
I can't
that
believe
is the
that that's
name.
The first live stream ever. Because, I mean, we've had video births for since
live
VCRs.
Streaming live streaming videos on Facebook?
No. I mean, like, video technology, whether it's a video cam
Well, Periscope and
Periscope.
All those
I
things.
Can't believe that this is the first live stream baby.
When did live streaming begin on Facebook? Was it just this week?
Well, there you go. Okay, on Facebook. Okay, there's the caveat.
Right. Okay. By the way, it was 45 minutes. So this is the best of. All right.
We got it.
Pretty good.
Come on. Pop out, son. What are you doing in there?
Son, I thought it was a her.
One more nice deep breath and one long push.
Go, 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 go. Push, 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 push. Go, go, go. You got it.
I can
see the head like starting to move around over there. You got it. You almost got it. For real.
It's crowning.
Good Lord. Good Lord.
That's
good. 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 Go. 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 He's hairy. He's got so much hair.
Little push. Let's go.
Oh, he's got a full set of hair. He's got a full set of hair. Oh, my goodness. You got him. He's coming out. Oh, hi, baby.
All right, one big push. Everything you got now, mama. Everything you got.
Hi, baby. Come on. Come out, baby.
Excellent, mama.
There you go. I see your face.
Hard as you can. Go.
Push, push. You got to go. Push. Hard, honey. Hard. You got him. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Baby's out. Oh, baby's out.
I have the ball already.
Yes.
Well, I have one word to say about this. Epidural. Hello.
Well,
I didn't hear any screaming from the kid either.
Aw. I think the dad was great about it. I didn't really want to hear all the pushing. It's like being there. But the dad's pretty cool. You know, he's a good coach, you know. I didn't want to slap him, which I was like, you know, I'm thinking, well, push, push, breathe, breathe. What do you know? You're not doing this. But, you know, but it was so cute because he's like, I can see his hair. And and he's getting really excited. And I'm like, that's really cool. That's
really
cool.
If dads go to Lamaze class, that's what they're taught.
Yeah, but
to do that.
I know.
He was doing the right thing.
It gives them something to do besides just be neurotic. It's like, here, you, lady, breathe. You, guy, say push. There you go. You got 9 months to, like, work out your scripts. That's it. That's my thing. Of course, I had zero kids. So what do I know?
Right.
So it's just me.
Yeah.
I've never had to push out a cat, you know, so.
Let me know if that happens because I want to put it on live on Facebook and you will be the first one.
Oh, Lord.
Well, give it a week. This is San Francisco. Somebody will push out a cat from.
They will.
Some cavity.
Oh.
Oh. Yikes. Hi, people. I emanate from the city.
You do?
Yes, we are emanating from
the city. Are you doing like you're a outer space person?
No, the people
From the city.
The people listening in Seattle are saying, what the hell's going on down there? Yeah, we're down here in San Francisco.
Yep,
we are. Yeah, anything's possible.
Oh, we just survived the beta breakers.
I know. I saw that.
Have you ever witnessed it in person?
No, the television works.
It's fine. Yeah, that's what I do
too. The television works just fine.
I've been at the end of the race where people come back through like the Castro and I had a friend coming in from out of town, so it was already, you know, an eye-opener for her. We're in the Castro. And then all these people in tutus and less are staggering through sweaty
awesome.
And just like the it looks like zombies at the end of it because everybody's so tired. But awesome. It's an awesome
sea of
humanity. The
weather was beautiful this year.
It was.
It really was. All right. Let's take a break, and then we will come back with, we have a lot of silliness here. Yeah, we've got stupid news. We love stupid news. It's the Late Night Late Show wrap-up, so don't go away. We'll continue on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10, but first with a look at traffic.
I feel my heart beating. I feel my heart beneath my skin. I feel my heart beating.
10 more days until Memorial Day weekend. It's right around the corner, and 33 more days until Father's Day. You need to take care of Dad. Dad always gets the short end of the stick when
they
it comes
get,
to
what,
these
a tie or a coffee cup or something.
No, I know. 48 more days until the 4th of July. 80 more days until the Olympics start in Rio, which is really interesting. With the Zika virus going on, it's my understanding that a lot of people are not going.
Oh, to
that's,
the
yeah, to Rio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's
sucks to be them this year. or this go around?
I don't think it's going to be a real success. I'm sorry to say, because I would love to see it big down in Rio, and that country is so rich and the people are wonderful, and it's a great focal point for, you know, whenever the Olympics comes to a city, but I don't think that they have the infrastructure for it.
Well, maybe they do in Rio, but I think the problem is going to be the Zika virus itself.
Well, right. It's going to deter people from coming, and then they're not going to recoup whatever infrastructure boost that, they're investing.
Sure.
They're
no
going to take a loss on it.
For sure. And then Venezuela's just that crap crazy at this point with the economy imploding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's sad news in South America. All right, let's move along. So the first NBA jersey with an ad is out. The Philadelphia 76ers are the first team in the four major U.S. sports to sell ad space on a jersey. StubHub paid $15 million to have a patch on the front of the jersey over the next 3 years. And other NBA teams are probably going to do that.
That makes sense for StubHub to be one of the advertisers.
Right. It's
Perfect.
Actually, if you think about it, $15 million for all those games, probably not a bad deal. I don't know what the Warriors, I don't know, I'm sure some tech company somebody's going to buy. And I bet I had to say this. These are the Philadelphia 76ers. They don't win anything. These guys are a different story.
So it's a different starting bid.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. There might be a third digit on theirs, the Warriors jerseys, not 15. Might want to put another digit in there. And let's see here. ESPN claims teams can sell to any company as long as it has nothing to do with gambling, alcohol, or politics. And also it cannot be a competitor of the NBA partners, including ESPN, Spalding, and Nike, who will be making the jerseys. And, well, let me see here. Tobacco companies, pharmaceuticals.
Can it be for the WNBA?
Could be, if they have the money to buy it.
Right. Okay.
If they would have
the money.
Fair
enough.
Yes. I don't know that they have the money. Let's see here. Before you cheat on someone, and we were talking about divorces earlier, by getting all stealthy on social media, you could and you should probably take a second and reconsider. Not for moral reasons. That's between you and the creator, because you're going to get caught. New survey out says 1 in 3 people secretly know the passwords to their partner's social media accounts. Well, no kidding. Are you surprised by that? And when they log in, the main thing they're looking for are messages between you and your side action. Of course, the survey found that 40% of the people have been caught cheating on social media, and they're still doing it. I don't care about –
I haven't been in a relationship since all the social media things where people had – like. I guess we were just getting smartphones.
You're nosy or you're not.
I'm not – I'd like to think I don't have a need to be that nosy, but I guess I'm naive. I'll let you know when I start back in the dating pool. I'll let you know.
I don't care. I don't.
Do what you do.
It's the wedding season. How are you? Are you going?
No.
Have you been?
Yeah. I'm inoculated from the wedding. I don't catch wedding. It's wedding season. It's going around.
It's wedding season.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
I got my shots.
You don't want that.
No,
right.
I'm inoculated. No, all my friends are pretty much married up, so I think I'm free of the weddings this year.
This is one of these situations where someone does something so outrageous, you can't be mad. I think that you have to be just impressed. So this woman just posted this story about the insane email she got after a wedding. She says she went to an ex-coworker's wedding where the couple asked for checks, not gifts, which is kind of tacky. But this gets tackier. She gave them a check for $100. And last week she got an email from the couple that said, "We were surprised that your contribution didn't seem to match the warmth of your good wishes on our big day."
Okay.
In view of our position, if you wanted to send any adjustment, it would be thankfully received. You got to be kidding me. Oh, my God, people.
Okay.
The balls.
When this story first came out, I'm thinking, oh, this must be like a contentious like family relative,
no.
A rich relative
wow.
who is stingy. It was an ex-coworker.
Yeah.
Tacky. Tacky. Tacky, tacky, tacky.
Yeah.
I wonder how long that marriage is going to last.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if they sent it out together or not. Safe bet saying, well, the woman is not planning to send any more money their way. As a matter of fact, she was going to cancel the check. Yeah, if it wasn't too late. Well, good for her. And it always amazes me. I don't know how you feel about the destination wedding thing or the, what is it called? The wedding. Oh, the registry.
Registry.
The registry.
But registries are a nice idea. I think it's a fanciful wish, and sometimes what people choose is really like, not happening.
Yes. I've had friends in show business who, well, let's face it, I work in this business, but so I would go on there sometimes and they would have, it's Tiffany or Cartier or this is Macy's or whatever, or Coach or all of these places. And I'm thinking, No. I tell you what, here's my thought on this. It's okay to put some of those things on there, and then if I so choose, but then put the other reasonable things on.
Throw in, like, I don't know, a Cracker Barrel, not Cracker Barrel, what is it, Crate and Barrel, or, Williams Sonoma, somewhere, there's some napkin rings. There you go.
Yeah, don't make it so look so full of yourself when you just have those high-end things on there. I just think it's a bad look, and I've seen people do it plenty of times. Again, it's okay to have one of those things, several of those things on there.
Sure.
Why not? And by the way, if you're lucky with me, because if your close friend, especially, it doesn't matter. But I don't like to go to weddings, so I just send you this Tiffany vase. Oh, it's Tiffany, so it's a vase. Let me get that correct.
A vase.
It's very simple. And all my radio and TV friends know that if they get married, who sent the Tiffany vase?
Drex. I think that's a great signature move.
Oh, it's like $250, and then I feel like I'm off the hook and
I don't have to go.
It's elegant.
It's timeless. It's useful. It's Tiffany. No, it's lovely.
And it's a vase. It's a vase, and it'll last forever, unless one of your bratty kids break it when you procreate. And you should go forth. So that I don't have to.
I like how you set the expectations. Just know, I'm very happy for you, and here's your vase.
That's right.
Like, oh, congratulations, that's a beautiful ring. Here's your vase now.
And as far as I'm concerned, it's my get-out-of-wedding-free card.
Ooh.
I don't like to go.
But your friends already know this, right? They don't take it any offense. Have
that's
you ever gotten in trouble?
Here comes that damn vase.
Have you ever gotten in trouble for, like, just, I don't do weddings, sorry.
No.
They understand.
I think some people have been disappointed.
You've been in trouble. It's okay. You can say it.
I don't like to go.
But aren't you supposed to anyway?
Am I supposed to go?
I mean, aren't you supposed to, even though you don't like to? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't you think there's an obligation?
Yeah.
If you're very close friends with someone.
To bear witness to a very big moment in someone's life.
Well, I don't like to go. But I have to say this. I don't like to go anywhere.
Have you always been a crotchety old man? You've always been 50-something.
I know. I don't like to go anywhere.
Little Drexy at 12 did not want to go to the fair or the carnival because...
Let's flash back to when I went to visit Mother.
Here we go.
Okay. Last Friday night.
This is getting very Freudian.
Karen,
Mother.
You don't even know this story. Okay. So first of all, I'm taking the red eye from here at like 15 minutes, right? So I have this set up... 2 Fridays ago, and the flight is supposed to leave at 11:53 out of SFO, fly across the country. So what happens is I order a car for, I have a couple different secrets here. So I'm not trusting Uber.
Okay.
So I ordered a sedan. The sedan was $78.
$78. Like, is it a town car to drive you?
It was an SUV, same thing. Very nice. Black. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Okay. So it was parked outside of the radio station, and we were on our way until the guy drove straight into the damn Giants mess. I'm going to rip this guy's head off because he's going to F this up. And I was very explicit on the request that I needed to be there not to miss the 11:53 flight. This guy's trying to have yakety-yak conversation with me. The first thing he does is drive right into AT&T.
I'm thinking,
dude, I'm going to rip your balls off if I miss this flight.
Well, there's a ball game tonight.
Right, there's a ball game, and you're in the wrong one. Okay, but then as we're sitting in this mess, here comes the first notification from United that the damn thing's delayed. So I relax. I chill out. I thought, okay, everything's fine. I'll enjoy my ride. I'm waiting until 12:30 anyway. So then we start to get out of the traffic, and all of a sudden it's, now the flight's going to be 12:45.
Oh,
all right.
It's earlier again.
No.
And it was 35, it was midnight, now it's 45.
Right.
Okay.
Keeps going. Then by the time I'm here, almost there at the airport, it's 1 o'clock. Now I'm calling, and I call United, and I said, am I going to make my flight in Chicago, my connection? It's close, but I'd say you stick with this flight because the next, if you don't, I said, so she said, there's only a half hour and I think they'll hold it for you. But if you don't, the next flight to where you're going is not happening until 9 o'clock at night. So I would get there at 6 o'clock in the morning
and wait until nine at night.
No, I'm not doing
transfer?
That. So this is where Drex doesn't do anything. Okay. Cause I'm saying, I'm out of here. Goodbye. Goodbye, not flying. I
don't
was gonna
love
come
you that
to...
much, Mom. Sorry.
No, that's the only reason I stayed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was Mom's 75th birthday, too.
Oh.
But I'm just telling you how I am. I bail on airports all the time.
Any reason. They won't let me take my conditioner on. That's it.
No, the TSA...
I'm not flying.
No, Jay Johnson should be fired. He should resign for this TSA mess where people were lined up a mile long. If I walked in and saw that later, not doing it. But I did. I hung in there because I wanted to go see Mom. All right. And I party and all of this yickety yak. All right. So then I get there. And sure enough, it's delayed now. Now it's 1:30. And now I'm going to miss the connection. So they said, well, we'll put you on America. This was.
Type. Oh, that's not
for 15, 20 minutes. This is what's going on in my head.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to strangle someone. I don't want to be here. Thank God I brought my Xanax.
Everybody was happy about that.
Thank God he brought his Xanax.
People are breaking into their prescription bottles for
Thank
him.
Thank God. Okay. So what did they do? They shot me off. They said, you know, it's the last resort when United says, okay. Well, we're going to do this special thing. We're going to put you on American.
Oh, they went outside their brand.
Yes.
The competitor.
But the plane leaves at 12:40. I'm in Terminal 1. It's in Terminal 3. It leaves in 20 minutes. 30 minutes. All right. So I had to run from Terminal 1 to Terminal 3 all the time thinking, just leave. So I had to go through the TSA again. Wasn't that much of a mess. But then...
At what time in the morning was this?
This was at 12:30 in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. I don't know if that United flight ever left, but I never... I didn't fly United. I flew American. And then the connection that was supposed to leave in Philadelphia, I flew across the country, with American to Harrisburg. Okay, I get off the American flight in Harrisburg. I look at the board, and the flight to Harrisburg is canceled.
This is like planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yes, it is. Right. So, thank God, my sister, who lives in Philadelphia, was going to drive to see Mom and Dad also, but she had not left, so she just said, I'll come down to the airport and pick you up.
What a good sister.
Okay, nice sister. So now, are you ready for this? You call United and say, they didn't give me my flight to Harrisburg. Well, what airline were you on? American. Well, you need to call American.
Yeah.
And then I ask American. Right, you know it's coming. It's, ding, 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 ding. Well... You didn't fly with us. It was a United ticket that you purchased. You didn't make that flight in Chicago. You need to call United.
Oh, my gosh. You're getting kicked around like a football.
I know. No, it didn't get nasty. I was just real quick. I thought I'll deal with this
later.
You know what's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen because I'm not going to deal with it, period.
And you know what? They're not going to get a Tiffany vase from you.
That's right. No Tiffany vase. Vase. We'll be back with the good news. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. That's the light version of summer traveling.
It's getting worse.
Midnight, so good luck with that. All right, we'll be back. But first, Lee Graham with traffic.
Drex on KGO 810.
And then, when I got to the American counter... That's right. So the guy who just called and bitched about Drex, you're telling your stories again.
No,
yes, I am.
He liked it. He wasn't bitching. He loves it. We all
it
love
doesn't matter.
You're going to do it anyway.
For 3 hours every night, the microphone belongs to me. Yeah. Until they take it away. So then when I got to the American counter from running from Terminal 1 to Terminal number 3, I was all sweaty. And middle-aged white guys or any guy who's sweaty...
Shaking out of breath, nervous.
The woman, yes, I said, here... on your flight.
Here's my tickety thing.
She says, are you okay? And I said, well, I'll be better when you give me my ticket. She says, you don't look like you're okay. I said, well, I just ran from Terminal 1, and I don't exercise. So I was a little sweaty, a little clammy. She gave me my ticket.
Good.
I said, I'm fine. Thank you. It's a bad look. All right. Let's talk about the penis transplant.
Oh, sensitive topic. K.O., I'm awake.
Yes, sir. The storytelling's over. Let's go to the good stuff. All right. A guy in Massachusetts named Thomas Manning received the first penis transplant in the United States.
Sorry.
That's right. Wasn't Peyton.
But it was Manning.
It was a Manning. But it's Massachusetts, so it would have to be a Brady for that pun to work.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the doctor, let me see here. Here's one of the surgeons who talked about this. It was performed at Massachusetts General Hospital. The recipient is a cancer survivor, and the procedure has been called a surgical milestone. Okay, let's take a listen. Oh, come on. We're going to get back to storytelling. Oh, it's freezing up again. Why are we having all these problems?
I think you pour coffee in the computer. Maybe that'll wake it up. No?
My niece just did this. That.
Oh, really?
Yeah, over the weekend. Right.
Expensive lesson.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hell-bent on playing this for you. Let me see. Maybe not.
Hmm.
Okay, so then I did get on the plane. All right, you can forget that. Anyway, some dude got his penis he got a penis transplant and it worked.
Which is great.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you about the janitor on getting his degree where he worked as a janitor at the school. No, that's not going to work either.
Okay.
All right, we'll leave you with this. Things that we'd rather give up for a month than give up our internet. Number 10, friends. Our actual friends, not the TV show, I think. Number 9, TV or movies. Number 8, music. Number 7 is sex. We'd rather give that up. go for a month without the internet, without Wi-Fi. It's only 7? All right. Number 6, coffee. Number 5, going out. Number 4, desserts. Number 3, Drexercise. Terminal 1 to Terminal 3. Sir, you don't look well. I'm just fine. Give me the ticket. God. Number 2, junk food. And the number 1 thing we'd rather give up for a month rather than lose our Wi-Fi. And boy, do I need some now, so I'm going to say goodbye. Because I'm just fine.
Sir, are you all right?
I'm just fine. Good night. John Batchelor's next on KGO.